I want to say hello to our basement dwellers today. And if you've never had that experience down there, it's a really cool experience. And so you might want to check that out sometime. We'll say hello to them. We also have something new that we're testing out today. And I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous about this. There's a live translation into Mandarin going on, or will be going on in the second service, which is a little bit crazy to me. But really, it's just so we have what we're saying here in English. Those who maybe are not as proficient in that or would prefer it in their mother tongue, they'll be able to hear and to go with that. And so I was informed of that this morning to give my manuscript over to them. It is not spell checked or anything, and so that's probably more my nervousness. So today we're going to continue on in our series on relation slips, and we made an audible. Last week I said we're going to talk about boundaries, and I just really felt like God was going, nah, that's not it. So this week I was just kind of going, God, well, what's in my wheelhouse? What am I able to talk about? And it became very clear that I needed to speak on humility in relationships. That's a joke. That is what we're talking about, but this sermon is probably more for me than for you. And this sermon series, our hope is that you'd get some really practical wisdom from God and what he says about relationships and how to have a healthy relationship. What does it look like to repair, to move further into a relationship? And you discover that we would discover the scriptures together and the wisdom that's there when it comes to relationships. James 3:13 says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by the deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." Notice here that wisdom is not just about knowledge, but it's best use in life, a good life filled with deeds done in humility. So that's really where we're going to be focused. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter. We're going to be tracking that today. There is a passage in chapter 5 that we're going to be looking at, and where God says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I talked to some of my office mates this week. We came up with a list of possible statements, maybe to help you to know if you need this sermon or not, and if you have the problem with a lack of humility. And so here are some of them. This is our top 10 list of some things that if you don't have humility, that you may see yourself in this. You may not be humble if this morning you change your clothes more than once and you're a dude. You may not be humble if your name is Donald J. Trump. That is not a political statement, that's just true and funny. You may not be humble if you only go to Wikipedia to edit. You may not be humble if you never stop for directions. Ladies, do not look at them. You may not be humble if right now you are thinking, I don't need this sermon. I'm the most humble person I know. You may not be humble if at your wedding you looked at your spouse and went, wow, they're lucky. You may not be humble if you think every other driver on the road is an idiot. You may not be humble if you often start statements with, IMHO, in my humble opinion. You might not be humble if you watch the Winter Olympics and were going, I could totally do that. And number 10, you may not be humble if you view your updating of your Facebook page as a public service. We know that you're humble, and we have another statement here. We know that you're humble and don't need this sermon if you wore elephant PJs to church last week. We have a little picture. I love that guy. He's all in. He's all in being a good sport. Really, he'll do anything for people to hear the gospel. And I appreciate Nate and appreciate his heart and his ability to almost pull that off. You might be scratching your head right now going, how does humility affect relationship? Part of the question is that we need to understand what humility is and what the Bible says about that. Pride is not necessarily the opposite of humility in the scripture. There's a certain amount of pride that we take, and there's a certain amount of understanding of the scriptures that help us to understand that we should take pride in certain things. Like, we should take pride in our work. You can be proud of your nation. These things aren't wrong, necessarily. You should take pride in your appearance. You should probably comb your hair most days and take a shower and dress and those types of things. You can be proud of your children. The opposite of humility is not pride. The opposite of humility is false pride. That's what the Bible describes as something that is not good, and is really opposed to it throughout the scripture. When the Bible uses the word pride in a negative sense, it's taking in this word hypocrisy. And we're going to talk about what that means and what that looks like. In false pride, there is always hypocrisy. To be a hypocrite. You may have heard people say from time to time, I won't come to church because the church is filled with hypocrites. That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true, that the church is filled with hypocrites. The reason I know that is because the world is filled with hypocrites. In reality, none of us have ever met someone who is not, at least at some level, a hypocrite. A little test for you. How many of you have lived up to the standard that you've set for yourself? Right? Just your standard. None of us, right? How many of you have broken your New Year's resolution? Or better yet, how many of you got to the end of the year and went, oh, I am so awesome, I don't even need a New Year's resolution. None of us, right? We have this hypocrite that is in us. The word that translates pride in the Bible, it's a form of another word. The form is eleison. It means this wandering charlatan. He was a favorite character in Greek plays. So that's pride. Then the word that Jesus uses for hypocrite, hypokritos, he's the first one that uses it how we use it in the English language, how we would use the idea that you're a hypocrite. Hypokritos comes out of a Greek play. In Jesus' time, a hypocrite was an actor. He performed in the theaters. Women didn't perform in theaters, but men did. So what would happen is you would have an actor and they would put on a mask. They would be, you know, the villain in this scene, and then they would run back and they would get another mask, and then they would be, you know, the hero in it. And it would go on like that, and it was a hypocrite was an actor who wore mask. And Jesus uses that word. Hypocrite, it means to be really simply a mask wearer. Biblically speaking, the opposite of humility is not pride, but it's this hypocrisy. Pride is rooted in hypocrisy. Basically, pride is faking it. So again, the question comes up that we wrestle with, or we're going to wrestle with today, is why is humility such a big deal? A big deal in relationships. Humility is not timidity. Humility is put your big boy and big girl pants on. It's tough to do. It's tough to take off the mask. But why is it such a necessary thing? Because, and lean in just for a second with me, humility is necessary to have a real relationship. It's necessary to have a real relationship. It is key. It's a key ingredient to relationships. Let me show you this in 1 Peter chapter 5 is where we're going to be hanging out. Verse 5, kind of halfway through that verse. And it says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he may lift you up in his due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Here's why humility is the key to relationship, because humility is the key to receiving love. You must practice humility to receive love. Just think about this for a second. The only way to receive real love is to be the real you. So humility becomes key to receiving love. Here's the crazy thing. We know what the scriptures say, and it tells us to love one another. Over and over again, it tells us this. But it also talks, and even more so, talks about this idea of us receiving love. Why? because you cannot give away that which you do not have. And so you need to be able to receive love. You need to be the real you for people to love you for who you are, not wearing a mask. The only way to receive that is to be the real you. You can be this person in this group, and then you can be this person in this group, and then you can put this mask on over here in this group. Over time, you know, maybe your parents or your spouse or your kids, and they love you, right? Maybe you have some friends that love you. But if they're not, it's not real love if they're not really loving the real you. See, humility is the key to this. There is no mask. It's a trusting word. It's trusting God and others with the real you. That's scary, right? That's scary. And it says, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humility in this is a choice. It's a choice. Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility. This morning, all of you have worn clothes. We would have noticed if you did not, right? Humility in the same way is a choice. He says, put on humility. Putting on humility is a tough job. It's not for the weak. It's for the strong to do that. Hypocrisy is pretending. It's easier. My kids love to play dress up, and they will dress up, and they have like these little plastic swords, and they have these a mask that they put on. And in that time, their biggest fight is who has the best superpower, right? Like that's the big fight of the day. You can hear them yelling at each other and saying, "No, my ability to freeze you, or my ability to be invisible. You can't freeze me if you can't see me," type of a thing. And they go at it with each other. But here's the reality. They are pretending. They're pretending. It's not real. To be humble is to be honest and to enter into reality. This is who I am. Most of us run around and we go, "I'm okay." And even if we're not okay, if someone asks you, we go, "Oh, I'm doing well." How much courage does it take to go, "Hey, I'm just not okay"? Remember, this is not a casual conversation. This isn't like in the hallway going and pouring out your guts to everyone. This is like being honest in those moments where there's real relationship there, where you can take down the mask. Humility is tough for people and for myself because it deals with reality. There is a man, I was reading this story, he had pickled his liver. He had drank too much. Throughout the years and through a series of doctor's appointments, he learned that his liver was no good and he was going to need a liver transplant. So he had to stop drinking, and they had interviews for him. And in one of the interviews, they asked him, well, why should we give you this? Like, why should someone else's death produce life in you? Like, you chose this lifestyle that produced this in you. He went on to explain the reason he did this. He said, "I started out drinking just a little bit, and I would drink socially. And then people kind of expected the fun guy that this produced in me. And so I began drinking more and more. Every time I went someplace, I was drinking. And then I was starting to do it at work, and I started to do this over and over again because there was an expectation of this is who I was, and it wasn't who I was. Or if I didn't have that, I couldn't produce that." He ended up getting a liver and changed his life. But the reality is the reason he needed a liver is because he was wearing a mask. It was the mask of alcoholism. Maybe you're loved by your mom and your dad. Hopefully you're loved by your mom and dad, kids, spouse, and still you feel lonely inside. Is it possible the reason that you feel lonely is because they don't know the real you? They just don't know you. You married dudes out there, some of you have fears, some of you have struggles, some of you have like these thoughts you don't really share with your wife, and you go, "Hey, I really just want to protect her. That's why I don't share these fears, these struggles, maybe these thoughts and dreams that I have, because I don't want her to worry." You ever do that? If you're a dude, you don't have to raise your hand. Just give me one of these. Here's the reality check. You... By not allowing your wife to love you, you're really pushing her away instead of drawing her in. You're putting up a mask. Think about it this way. So when your wife hugs you, she's not hugging and kissing you. She's hugging and kissing a mask, not the real you, not the depth of who you are. The wise thing is to set down the mask, to be the real person that you are with her. Humility is, in relationships, makes you open to improvement. Relationships have this annoying habit of holding. When we're humble, it really holds the mirror up and goes, you know what, you have flaws. Here's the deal. Your spouse, your kids, your mom and dad, they know you have flaws. Part of being humble is just recognizing, and I'm trying to cover it up all the time. Humility gives you the ability to say that you're sorry. None of us like to be wrong. We have this ability to be humble in this, and we take off the mask and we realize that we are wrong and we're a person of integrity in that we're the real us. It gives us this ability to go, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Instead of creating a fictional relationship where you're the hero all the time and you're always right. You can also accept advice, I think, a lot easier. And when you let somebody in to that struggle, to that pain, to the frustration, to the worry, to the angst, to the confusion. What happens is when those masks come down and that depth of that relationship, they can speak into it. Sometimes they have really incredible insights for you, but you're not humble enough to get to that place in that relationship for them to be able to hear that or to be able to speak that. Humility goes hand in hand with forgiveness. When you're able to be humble, when you're able to see your flaws, it gives you the ability also to forgive others because you're not going to get repaid for the slight that has happened against you. The level of humility that you give in a relationship dictates the level that relationship will go. I'm not telling you to spill all of your guts to every person on the street. That's just weird. I mean, that'll make everybody uncomfortable, so don't do that. But you should have people in your life that you can totally be who you are, to share your hopes, your dreams, your frustrations, your fears, and where those masks can come off. When you choose humility, you're really on God's team. If we go back to the text, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace or favor to the humble. Here's the deal. There is no one who is proud at the foot of the cross. That's the reality of it. None of us are proud at the foot of the cross. We realize that we can't earn our way to God, but we humble ourselves. And God, through the person of Jesus Christ, he works his way to us. We don't work our way to him. He works his way to us. And when we go to the cross and we bow at the cross and we say, God, you know what? I'm a man or a woman in need of a Savior. You are humbled. Every knee bowing, every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christianity is different than any other religion. You cannot earn your way to God. It's not like you do this and you will get this or you'll have good karma. You are a person that has sinned and the only way back into the family was for Jesus to die for you. He worked his way to you. To receive God's love is you have to humble yourself and go, here I am. Here I am. And he provides grace. He provides undeserved grace. He provides favor for you. One of the things that I think is really funny, and I often will invite people to church, and one of the responses that I love and I think is funny and yet sad at the same time is people will say, well, I don't know if I can walk in the door. It's the door of the church because lightning bolts are going to come down if I walk in that place. I haven't been there so long and whatever. But that's really a hypocritical statement, isn't it? Because what they're saying is this, God, I'll come to church, but I've got to get all my stuff ready. And then look at the dance I can do for you. Huh? You know, that's what they're saying. And God doesn't take us like that. He doesn't take us as we should be. He takes us as we are. As we are. God loves you, not as you should be, but as you are. He just asks that you would humble yourself and go, you know what, I need you. Because you receive love in that moment. I love the story of the prodigal son. I love the story. Like, there's two stories in there that are working, and both of them you could talk about humility, but I love the son who's just like, Dad, I just need to go spend some money. Like, I'm not working on the farm anymore. I'm taking off. And so he goes off and he does this wild spending, lives this wild life, and it's pretty good for a while until the money runs out. And then he's sitting at a pig farm eating what the pigs eat. He's stanky. And he gets this idea, maybe I could go back to my dad. Maybe I could go back to my dad, and he would just make me a servant, because they're living better than I'm living. And so he goes, and his dad sees him coming up the road. And what does his dad do? He doesn't go say, hey, you need to take a bath. You need to be, you know, you need to look a certain way to be a part of my family. No, he doesn't. He just wraps his arms around him. Man, that's our God. We're the prodigals in the story. We're the prodigals. And he takes us all stinky and all dirty and all messed up and all jacked up from all the things that we've done. And he says, come on in. It took an amount of humility, didn't it, to walk up that road to go, I screwed up, Daddy. In the same way, we do the same thing. This is our story. Instead of hiding from God in our pride, he invites us to go, here I am, God. This is the real me. This is the real me. This is what I'm struggling with. God loves you as you are, not as you should be. You receive that love not by performing, but by receiving. Humility invites God to work in our lives. In the text it says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, and he, that he may lift you up in due time. That he may lift you up and or exalt you. God wants to work in your life. God wants you to know that he loves you. God wants to help you. But in order for that to happen, you need to humble yourself so that you can experience the real love of God. Here's a relationship tip. And it doesn't matter if it's with God or with your kids or with your wife or with your girlfriend or whatever. Here it is. Stop worrying about what you are not and give them what you are. Give them what you are. Stop worrying about what you're not. When it comes to God, you have not done anything that he's like, oh my goodness, that's surprising. He already knows. He already knows. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. You're not going to blow his mind. When Jesus comes to earth, there's an angel that comes and says, I have good news of great joy for all people. A Savior is born in the city of David. We talk about this at Christmas usually. It kind of looks like Christmas outside, so I thought we'd talk about that. The story is of you not working your way to Jesus, but Jesus working his way to us. That God sent his Son incarnate in the flesh for us. You can't earn your salvation. God gives us a Savior. If you will humble yourself to this fact, the Bible teaches that he will begin to lift you up. How does he begin to lift you up? It tells us, I think, in this. It says, cast all your anxiety on him. You begin to trust God with the real you. You begin to trust God with the real you. I want you to do this. Take the word anxiety out and put whatever word fits you. Remember, this is written in ancient Greek. And so when we think of anxiety, we think of worry and kind of, but it can mean confusion. It can mean, I just don't understand what has happened. And so maybe it's God, I'm confused why you allowed this. Just give it to him. Give him that today. Just like, God, this is where I'm at. I'm confused. It could be, God, I'm angry right now. Just angry. I'm angry at the situation. I prayed this way and this is what's happened. I'm angry. Give it to him. It could be, God, I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed in this relationship, or I'm disappointed in this fact of my life. I'm disappointed in this situation. I thought it was going to work out this way, and it worked out this way, and this is where I'm at. He's a big God. He can handle it. But it's an amount of humility to go, God, this is where I'm at with you, and I'm not sure. We're struggling here, and I know it's probably me, but I'm just not there. And just giving him that anxiety, casting it upon him. You know why you do that? It tells us at the very end. And listen to this, church. He cares for you. That's what it says. He cares for you. He wants this relationship with you. God, we come before you. We thank you for who you are. God, we ask as we think about this idea of humility in our lives, God, that we would stop acting. God, we know we do it, and we do it in our relationships with others, so we do it with our relationship with you, and you call us into something greater. God, I pray that for myself, that I would believe the truth of this passage, that you oppose the proud, the acting, but you really give grace to those who are humble, that will approach you with humility. God, I pray that for in our relationships, whether it be a husband and wife, God, that they would be able to share openly. It's scary to do it, God, because there's natural protections that we've put up. God, I pray it for fathers and mothers with their kids, that they would have humility. God, that they would give their kids what they have and not worry about what they don't have. God, I pray for it for boyfriends and girlfriends. The same prayer. God, I also pray for our friendships. God, I ask that if there are people who are lonely, that they would find a friend where they could just take the mask off, just for a moment, and that they could be the real them and experience the real love that you've given people for them. God, I pray this in your son's name. Amen.